Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
And now I want to go to Brendan Carmody. Brendan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Yeah, Brendan, you've been through a tough few months.
We have, yeah. Not unlike a lot of other people, but yeah, we've had our tough times.
But you have a particularly difficult situation. Do you want to just tell people about your family situation there?
Yeah, we have a son, an adult son, Ian, who suffers with autism and epilepsy. He has a few other issues as well, minor issues, but they'd be minor issues to a normal young fella, but not they affect him a bit more than they would a normal person because of his other conditions. And since the lockdown in mid-March, the day service centre that he had attended has been shut down to him.
Right.
So we've had him at home for 6 months, basically.
Yeah, and he would have relied very much on that day
service. Big time. He went there 5 days a week. I would bring him out there in the mornings, get him up around 7-ish and bring him out there, leave here about 8 and drop him there about 10 to 9. And then I'd collect him near 4 in the afternoon. So he had a structure on his day and he'd come home then and he'd do his normal stuff on tablets and stuff like that.
And he liked it. He enjoyed going there.
Oh, he loved it. It was they're great people there. From the guy who runs the John McAuliffe to all the staff in the kind of classrooms, you'd call them, where they mix and where they head out from to do social activities and stuff, and they do bits and pieces. They go swimming, they do athletics, they do visits here and there, they do horse riding and all that stuff. It was brilliant for him, and it gave him something, a structure on his day, and it also challenged him. It gave him exercise. He mixed. He experienced new things, so it was brilliant. It was everything that we wanted from him.
And he had been going there since he left school, did he?
That's right. He went to school in the campus. There's a campus there in Nanakati run by it's called St. Vincent's, by the Daughters, overseeing the Daughters of Charity. And so there's a school in there. So he went there from when he was, whatever age, up until he was 18. And then we had to apply to get him into the day service, the training centre in the day service.
And he was there for how long? How long was he there then?
He's there now. He's 24 now, so he's there about 6 years.
Right. Okay, so when obviously March and COVID came along and that all stopped.
That all stopped, and we understood that. And we understood they pulled the staff members from the service centre and they moved them in with some of the residential clients in the campus as well. And that was understandable. We got that and we knew we had to knuckle down. We were lucky the first couple of months, as everyone knows, we'd great weather and we were able to sit out in the back and we were able to take him walking and that. And then we were told, we heard from the minister that all the day service centres would open by the 1st of September. Which is today. And then we were told that because all the staff has been repatriated into the residential section, they can't get them back. And they can't get them back because the HSE won't release funding to backfill them into the residential service.
Have you been told why these day service staff were needed in the residential centre and why they're not?
Well, I wasn't told specifically. My understanding is it was because of the COVID and the whole management of the COVID. They were running them in pods and units and trying to keep them, from mixing too much with others. So we got it. We understood it and we accepted it. It made sense. But it also makes sense that when they want to reopen the service, that they have the people to reopen it.
So basically you're now a victim of the fact that they can't find, it's not that there isn't day service people there because they still exist, but there's no other people to backfill if they go back to what they were doing.
No, it's worse than that. There's no funding for other people. They've applied to the HSE and they fought with the HSE for funding. I mean, what you need to understand is that Ian and any other individual who attends the day service centre, there's actually specific funding released for him at the start of the year to give him his service throughout the year. So that funding now that was allocated for Ian, by dint of the fact that they've taken the people out, that's been used elsewhere.
Right.
And the HSE won't release any funding, they've said, according to the correspondence that I've received, they won't release any funding to backfill these people. So we've basically been promised about 16 or 17 hours through the whole of September.
And who will deliver these 16 or 17 hours?
Well, we're told that we can bring him in on Friday, from starting from 11th of September, I think, next Friday week. We're told we can bring him in for a slightly shortened day. I think it's 9:30 or something like that. And we'll get each Friday. And then we were told, basically, we'll see. Now, the expectation was that there would be funding and that maybe it would increase. But since I've been told since that it looks like they can't get the funding from the HSE, and therefore they can't promise us that there will be any increase. So he's stuck at home now for 6 days a week. And he's stuck at home 7 days a week now, but it will be 6 days a week come Friday week.
And how is that now, after all these months?
It's tough. So my wife is an SNA, so she's gone back to work now. She works in a special school for younger kids. So, you know, it wasn't too bad when there was two of us there trying to manage him. And we kind of split the day between us. My wife would do the night shift, because if he walked during the night, or if he wouldn't go down during the night, he would go down for her. And then I would do the early mornings and the rest of the day. But now it's tough. And it's just the stress of it now and the strain of it. We were hanging in there with the thought that September the 1st was coming, we'd be back. And now that's all thrown out the window again.
Yeah, you can kind of put up with anything when you see the end in sight. But when it becomes, when that end starts to move off into the distance, everything
Absolutely.
Starts to get a bit darker.
Yeah, it does. And there's the stress and the frustration of trying to get what he's entitled to. You know, if it wasn't there, or it wasn't available, and everyone was in the same boat, you know, we knuckled down and we took that. But now you just want what he's entitled to.
And does Ian need a lot of care, just on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, he does, yeah, he does. I'm actually his carer. I retired a few years ago, I took early retirement, because he developed seizures. And when he had the seizures, he would pass out, and he was too heavy for my wife to manage. So right. One of us had to finish up, because he was moving into the training centre and the seizures and that, and had to be me, because I'm the person that could lift him, yeah. Basically. So he has those problems. He has problems with his bowels as well, and he's, you know, he takes medication for his epilepsy, and he has problems. Some nights he has severe problems getting to sleep, so we have to give him medication for that some nights, but we try not to give him the medication.
But it's a full time, more than full time job.
Oh, it's a full time job. Oh, it's really full time job, and I'd say, you know, there's a lot of people in the same boat as us, and we're not the worst affected. You know, there are people who have more difficult young fellas and young girls to look after, and they're doing their best as well. So, you know, it's a tough time, and we're hanging in there. But if they'd fixed this and given us some hope with regard to the restarting of the services, which we had, we'd taken that. You know, we heard in early August that they would be opening by the 1st of September. So that kind of kept us going.
So
now it's tough going.
Yeah. And your wife has gone back in to help other children with special needs in the school.
She is, yeah. She is, yeah. And she's brilliant at it. You know, she loves them all. But on Sunday night, it was particularly difficult now, because, you know, she was a bit upset at the thought of going in to help others and then not being at home to help her own young fella, you know.
Yeah. And as you say, the money was there. The money was allocated at the start of the year, but it was just, you know, siphoned off somewhere else once COVID came along, and you're wondering why it can't come back to where it was originally allocated.
Yeah, I mean, we're not complaining about the requirement, the need for the other people to, you know, while COVID was rampant, for those other people to get the extra services. And as I said, everybody involved in the day service knuckled down and, you know, did their bit. But now, you know, as I said, the funding is allocated for Ian and for the other people to go to the service. That's allocated every year to start of the year. They calculate how much he needs for the year. So it's not given for a person or for 100 people or 50 people. It's given by individual.
Yeah.
So his funding...
And you want to get it back, basically.
I know. Yeah, I just want to see some light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay, Brendan, thank you for that. And best of luck with that. It's a hard road, but... we wish you the very best with that. I just have to go to my last break now.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia 7-year warranty. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia has you covered.
Sometimes you might forget, but every one of us is still at risk from COVID-19. But every time we do the right thing, we're protecting ourselves and the people around us.